Welcome back to the Exterminatus Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. I am your host, Eric, and with me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
Glad to guys have you back this week. We have a lot of news this week, an exciting week. In the world outside of Warhammer 40,000, we are in the midst of March Madness. We are currently recording on Monday, and this coming Thursday starts Adepticon 2019. We're expecting an announcement from Games Workshop, be doing one of their seminars, unveiling some new products. But before we talk about what we expect in the distant future, let's talk about all the new goodies that are coming out right now. We're going to spend a lot of time on the show. Vigilus Ablaze is upon us. Pre-orders went out last weekend, so actually being out this coming Friday midnight, depending on your local hobby store. Several internet outlets have already been leaking several pages, so no more surprises at this point. But overall, pretty cool. I haven't seen any real clunkers at all.
Yeah, it's been great stuff. They've been posting bits of information about the new Chaos Space Marines, or Heretic Astartes, all last week and into this week. Making a few confirmations that people have been saying, but from looking at pictures and all sorts of goodies.
And there's some clear winners from the internet in terms of, but I have to say they really need to dig deep because there's a lot and lots of layers because this doesn't replace what we've seen in the Chaos Codex. It's in addition to. And right off the bat, when I see the Dark Apostle with his prayer function, which is very similar to the priest's function, as we've seen in the Imperial Guard, but also in Sisters of Battle, where I'm going like, huh, it's almost like a layer on top of the psychic powers.
Yeah, it's also a little bit of something that they've kind of grabbed from Age of Sigmar. They've really been able to capture the whole, we're getting special abilities, but we're not using psychic stuff.
So if you're new to what we're talking about here, so here's the bad news. So the pessimists of the world will look at it as, do Dark Apostles still allow me to reroll hits in the combat phase? Yes, on a 2+. What? There's a chance I can fail? Well, that's one of the 6 powers he can choose from, or she. And then each chaos mark, so Khorne, Tzeentch, Slaanesh and Nurgle each have their own soul, their unique one to add to that on top of it. So, and then if you notice the new Dark Apostle model, which we saw pieces of in the Demon Engine preview there, he's got 2 little buddies next to him. And basically what that does is adds to his ability, and I believe it adds to his range as well in terms of how far his prayers extend out. And then in addition to that, certain factions, I should say, or legions have additional upgrades. For example, the Dark Legion. I am on fire tonight. Okay, let's start that again. So one of the previews, as Ray mentioned, was the Alpha Legion. Cultists, if they're within a certain range of the Dark Apostle, they can extend the prayers further as kind of daisy chain them to make a very wide range of how they can affect these various prayers. So some really neat stuff coming through from the Dark Apostle, which was kind of a throwaway HQ choice for actually since 5th edition. So it was kind of hard to use. So it's really neat to see that come into fruition. Another piece of new stuff that I saw up there is this whole Renegade Chapters. Ray, have you seen that?
Yeah, I did. In fact, it seems like there was a definite winner. At least that's what Don was saying. And I can't find myself really disagreeing with him too much. That's the Red Corsairs.
A good old Huron Blackguards group there. So short version of this, it's kind of a neat mechanic because it's not something we've seen before. They still retain their advance and charge ability, but they also have this other nifty ability where if you include certain number of models in the in that detachment, you get an additional command point. And if they're Chaos Space Marines, it goes up to a +3. And then as you add more, it keeps ballooning. So, of course, Don came up with a list with 26 command points. It was something ridiculous like that. So at first I was like, okay, big deal. So you get Veterans of the Long War every turn. You know, you still have that one stratagem per phase restriction. Until I saw this on another website, that Red Corsairs get an ability or a stratagem identical to Tide of Traitors, just like Alpha Legion, with one small exception. They don't do it with cultists. They do it with Chaos Space Marine models. So you can pick up a 20-man unit, pick them up off the table, deploy them 6 inches off of any board edge, but more than 9 inches away from an opponent for a mere 3 command points.
Well, you know, another thing in that article that really caught my eye, and of course the first thing that came to mind for me was you, is the bit about the Fallen.
I was pretty excited about this, and I've heard some mixed understanding, so I can't wait to get my hands on the book to confirm what I've read to make sure which way it's correct or not.
Here's what we know for sure. That is, they've got a stratagem in the form of Without a Trace, and they've got some stuff for Cypher. And of course, it's, you know, the information for Cypher. He's got the Agent of Discord. He's got this rule, though, where enemy units within 12 inches of him cannot use any abilities, warlord traits, or relics that allow them to gain, return, or refund command points. With how common that's being, that is kind of crazy. And then, of course, if there's at least 10 fallen angels around him, that goes up 6 inches to a total of 18. And then, of course, if there's 20 or more, it goes up to 24. And all I have to do is be within 12 inches of Cypher. So if you're protecting Cypher with fallen angel space marines, you could be creating a bubble of denial when it comes to CP manipulation.
So pretty cool stuff. I'm excited to see that, though. The thing that's got me on cautiously optimistic is, did they pick up certain keywords? But last I looked, there's still Imperium keyword and Fallen, and no Heretic Astartes, which means they can't use the other stratagems from the Chaos Space Marine book. So I got to confirm that, if that's true or not.
On the bright side, they did. It's not in rules format, but in the article, they do say that doing this specialist attachment will allow you to have Chaos Sorcerers and Rhinos be given the Fallen keyword,
which is super essential. It'd be nice to add a little bit more to it. And also, as Ray pointed out to me during the week, the Fallen and the Death Guard or Dark Angel Veterans box has been eliminated from the GW website. So are we looking at new models? Oh, that would be nice. That'd be really, really cool. And the Fallen have a big role in fluff, by the way, in Vigilus Ablaze. So that was really cool to see.
Well, I mean, there's so many, there's a lot of new stuff coming out. I mean, it's not new, but it's new. You know, we've seen that we've got the new Abaddon coming out. We've got the new Chaos Space Marines that have been resized closer to, not the same size as the Primaris Marines. They're about the same size as the Plague Marines and the Rubric Marines that we've seen now.
And they look so good, the way the heavy metal teams painted them up to look like each of the legions. Looks so good.
Yeah, and I love the paint jobs they've done, and that Alpha Legion paint job is insane. It's not too crazy, but it's no simple paint job either. But if you're able to pull that off, it will look amazing.
Yeah, where did you see that? Was that on their Facebook page, or was it Instagram?
That was off of, I do believe it was the Independent Characters Facebook page. Someone saw the Heavy Metal Painters, I believe it was the Twitter post, last week in the Voxcast podcast and video. They had him on, and he's one of the Heavy Metal Painters. And the new paint job that you see for the Alpha Legion, which very much resembles the Horus Heresy colors, was his creation. So, I guess enough people have messaged him to want to find out how to do it that he posted up a very short description of how to do it. I wish he would have gone into a little bit more detail, because as of right now, it's basically just here's the base, here's the highlight, here's the highlight, here's the highlight, and here's a shade. I wish he would go into more detail about, how detailed it goes and which ones are the finer highlights. But it's a great start.
Some other neat stuff that came out and interesting. Of course, I can't go too far without looking at terrain. So I could never pronounce this thing correctly. The Nocturith Crown, the new Chaos Space Marine
It's the Noctilus. I believe it's Noctilus. It's the Chaos Stargate. From a little bit I've heard from the fluff perspective, it's very cool because they're portable somehow. You can't move them in the game, but they set these up and they're made of that black stone. But they've been using the powers of chaos have basically flipped the polarity. It's almost like, in a way, it's almost like a magnet. The black stone is magnetized in a way where it keeps the warp at bay, but they're able to flip it where instead it basically magnifies it.
So in game terms, first of all, looking at the model, when I first look at you really don't get a sense of the scale, but it is the same size as the Eldari webgate. You can easily fit a great unclean one through this thing. Give you an idea, it's taller. The great unclean one almost fits through the circle. That's how big this thing is. And what it gives you rules-wise, it's similar to the Eldari webgate as well. It's immobile, so once you plop it down, it's going to be there for the rest of the game. It's still got a 3-up, 5-up. I believe it's 12 wounds at strength 8, or toughness 8, excuse me. Important things, if you're within 6 inches to start and your entire unit is within 6 inches, you get a 5-up invul. If you're a psyker within, I forgot what the range is off the top of my head. If you're an enemy psyker, any rolls or doubles is a perils. Chaos sorcerers are immune to it. And there's also chaos sorcerers can re-roll their psychic tests when they're within a certain range. Why do I not know the range off the top of my head? Because it grows as the game goes on. It starts off at 6, and then I think turn 2 or 3 grows by 3 inches, and then grows again to 12 inches as you get through the end of the game. So it keeps getting more and more powerful as the game rolls on. It's pretty awesome, pretty exciting, neat little piece there. And this is above and beyond the Khorne Throne that came out for Age of Sigmar, which will be getting Warhammer 40k rules on top of that. So we actually have 2 terrain pieces to be excited about.
Yeah. I was just going to say, so other than those, we're seeing resculpted Terminators, which it's kind of funny because they're so similar to the older version that there was some discussion back and forth as to whether or not they were even a new model. They've kept the whole Tusk helmet, which I've never really been too fond of, but...
Oh, I love that. I think that's so cool.
Well, I like the idea. I like the Heresy era Terminator armor, and I wish what we would have seen was something that looked a little bit more like a mashup. You know, where it looked like they were just scavenging parts.
Oh, yeah. That would make more sense.
Because, the Thousand Suns Scarab Occult are one version, which the name escapes me, of Terminator armor. But the Death Guard, like the Death Shroud, and all their Terminator armor models that just came out are Cataphracti. So there's two distinct Chaos factions that have the Heresy era Terminator armor, whereas what we're seeing in for the the vanilla CSM, if you will, is the CSM version of the more modern Terminator armor. I'm not against it. I just kind of wish it would have been a little bit more of a mashup.
Yeah, I can see your point there.
But they still look great. There's a massive improvement in the guns. The chain fists are it's a complete redesign of the chain fists. They don't even look like the Space Marine ones.
I didn't pick up on that. Yeah.
Where, these ones look like they're on the back of the fist, whereas prior to this it was more like a chain fist with, or a power fist with a little chainsaw at next to the pinky. Or the CSM, the Chaos Lord in Terminator armor, that it's like he's got a chainsaw except for his pinky or his thumb and his middle finger. So he's confessing while he's chainsawing you.
Learn that in hockey. How do you know your gloves are broken in? If you can do this, let's flip somebody off.
Or alternatively, pick his nose.
Well, that too.
Oh, God, I got an itch. Oh, no, it's a chainsaw.
That would be bad.
Yeah. The you know what? The lightning claws are also pretty cool, too. You know, if you look back at the Chaos Terminator bot kit prior to this one that's coming out, it was very limited. I mean, very limited. You had Power Fists. You might have had one Chain Fist. And then you had this, like, goo-looking thing for a mutation.
Oh, yeah, which had no rules. I remember that.
Guns. Yeah. And it was awful, you know. And then there was all these rules about all these weapons you could take. But if you just wanted one Lightning Claw, you're basically going and buying the Terminator Lord and just making him look more like a regular one.
Yeah.
Which is expensive.
I remember doing that too.
Next, you know, instead of having, you know, a kit that's $50, you're spending $100 so you can have a bunch of guys with Lightning Claws if that's what you're going for. And that is expensive. Or you're giving all your money to those people who just sell out random bits. You got the Havocs also going up on pre-order this next weekend, and they look amazing.
Not only that, they finally heard my prayers that they're coming out with some weapons unique to the Chaos Space Marines. So it's not just, oh, whatever the Loyalists got, we've got them too.
Yeah, there's a bunch. Now, almost every weapon in the Havoc kit is going to be two of each, with the exception of, and I keep forgetting the name of it, but it's the one that you've seen that looks like a Gatling gun, where all the...
That would be the Reaper Chain Cannon.
Okay. That one you will have... If you want more than one, you are buying more than one box. Outside of that...
You may want to.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it? Heavy 8? This thing.
Yes. 24-inch range, heavy 8, strength 5, AP minus 1, 1 damage. Oh, and by the way, Havocs have a new ability called Stabilizing Talons. They can move and fire heavy weapons without suffering penalties to their 2-hit rolls. So, one of the things they suggest is taking 4 of them in your Havoc squad, make them Emperor's Children, and put the Endless Cacophony stratagem on them so they shoot twice. That gives you 64 strength 5 AP minus 1 shots in one turn. You had a screen? No screen, no more. And while we're talking about Emperor's Children, by the way, the upgrade screw for Noise Marines still fits these new models. I thought that was kind of a nice touch.
Yeah. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You know, the models are still very, very much the same when it comes to, you know, you glue the body together, and then the shoulder joint is flat. It's not like a peg or anything crazy like that, like what you're seeing in the Shadow Spear box. It's not, you know, pegs and slots and one model is going to look the same no matter what you're doing. You don't have to worry about that. I've seen people trying to say that that's going to be the case, but it's not.
Interesting, another new model that's coming out is called the Master of Executions. Sort of a character killer type thing. And it's kind of neat. So once per fight phase, you could reroll 1 to hit, 1 to wound, or 1 damage roll when this attack is made against a target of a character. And after the enemy has completed all their charge moves, he can make a heroic intervention of 6 inches if the closest model is indeed a character. So he's all about killing characters.
Yeah.
It's got this nifty thing called the Axe of Dismemberment, which seems kind of handy. You should see it at your local Home Depot anytime now. Melee weapon, obviously, strength times 2, AP minus 3, D3 damage. Every time you make a roll of a 6 with this weapon to wound, the unit suffers a mortal wound in addition to any additional damage. So I'm assuming this guy's got probably 3 or 4 attacks minimum. There's a good chance that you're going to get a couple extra mortal wounds on top of your regular damage.
Yeah, and he's got quite possibly the most, I want to almost say medieval looking of armor. He has more bones than any other model I've seen in the line of 40K.
Yeah, he kind of looks almost like a Legion of the Damned.
Yeah.
A little bit. you know, with the whole,
he's got like a spine and rib cage going on the one shoulder. Something not too distant from that on the one leg.
His trophy rack is bones, and he's carrying two heads in his non-axe hand. So I guess he beats you with those. I don't know. It's pretty cool.
We're definitely seeing a lot of characters.
Yeah, a lot of characters, a lot of neat stuff. Some of the other Renegade chapters are looking pretty impressive as well. So don't let the internet fool you that Red Corsair is the only ones we're taking. Purge has some definite high points, as well as even the Flawless Host, which is a Slaaneshi type group. They were pretty neat.
It's kind of interesting. So, you know, in the past, in prior to like 7th and 8th edition, it was all very Renegade based, and then they flipped it back to the Legions, and then you were just kind of like, oh, and there's Renegades. But this book, from what I've seen in the previews, is very much, there's a focus in the Renegades. We're seeing a few of them being kind of brought to the fore, and in that we're seeing basically five get mentioned, and we've got the Red Corsairs, which are a Chaos Undivided faction. There's the Crimson Slaughter. They're the Khorne. They're kind of a Khorne Renegade faction. They mention the Flawless Hosts, which is the same thing for Slaanesh. The Purge is for Nurgle, but they're, you know, they're a Renegade warband. And then there's one, the name escapes me, but I was just looking at it, for Tzeentch. So we're seeing they're not neglecting any one little group. They're not just throwing everything into one little pile, depending on what is represented.
I think you're thinking of the Scourged.
That's
the Red Corsairs. Yeah. So interesting trait for the Grips of Slaughter, and if you play them, it should be pretty exciting. But if you're a Nari player, you might want to pay attention to this. This might be in your future. Pure speculation on my part, of course. If a unit with this trait destroys an enemy unit, roll a d6. On a 5+, you gain one command point. In addition, the unit automatically passes morale tests until the end of the turn. What do you make of that?
I think it's pretty good for Crimson Slaughter. Yeah.
Yeah. That could be interesting. So there seems to be a lot of directions to go with. It's just so much in there. And, you know, just, you know, we talk a little bit later in the show about what the future brings. I mean, the first thing I think of is, if they're going to do this much for Chaos, well, what happens when they flip the mirror back onto the Imperium and go back to all those others, you know, Space Marine chapters that have kind of been kind of pushed to the side? You know, when was the last time you saw Black Templars on the table? When was the last time you saw Imperial Fists taken seriously? So
I do have a few theories I want to bring up. First off, I want to say that there's been a lot of stuff floating around the internet saying that we're not going to see any new Space Marine codex until late in the year. Mostly because what's going to be released is probably just all represented in the Shadow Spear box, and then we'll probably see independent data sheets and points, and it's going to get dispersed to everybody except for Deathwatch and Grey Knights, from what they've said. But what we'll probably see for Space Marines when that gets around is, I think we'll see them do with chaplains that we're seeing them do with apostles to an extent. They'll be able to do something along the lines of prayers. They'll probably call it something different. They'll make it very, you know, Imperium themed. Maybe, you know, prayers to the Emperor kind of a thing.
Litanies of Fury.
But
yeah, litanies, yeah, or something like that. Who knows?
Of course, when the Codex comes out, it's just going to be them adding in the new stuff. I think the smartest thing for them to do is to not really add anything in as far as bringing new chapters to the fore. I think the smartest thing for them to do is to really do that in White Dwarfs. I feel like they could really, you know, do the occasional one where it might be, you know, a Chaos Warband or a Loyalist chapter, or maybe one of each, and just do a little bit of that. Like what we've seen with the assassins, but we won't really be we wouldn't be seeing data slates and rules. We'd see chapter, you know, a page or two that's chapter tactics and stratagems, and maybe some cool pictures and some fluff behind it. That would be the smartest thing for them to do, to really bring new chapters and warbands to the fore. I like what they did with the codex for Chaos Space Marines, but I don't think we're going to see that for any more. Because I feel like what they did there is they just decided to bring out, you know, a renegade warband that expresses, you know, undivided in each of the dark gods, just to kind of help explain what it's like for the renegades that have fallen to chaos.
But it's all exciting stuff. Glad to see it finally come out, finally get a good feel. Just make the Chaos Space Marines kind of stand on their own as opposed to being the spiky Marines. So, feeling good. So it'd be interesting to see how this plays out on the tabletop. I've gotten a couple practice games already against the new Chaos Space Marines. Definitely a different feel when attacking them. Not a cultist yet in sight, but doesn't mean cultists have gone away, but they're interesting mix of different models. And this is before we've actually gotten our hands on the Lord Despondent or Distordant, I forgot what it was called, the guy we talked about last week. And what's his name? I can't draw.
So I know what you're talking about. His name is...
This is quality news here, folks.
The worst part is you were just talking about that this morning, too. The Lord Discordant.
Yeah, look, Discordant. There we go. Let's get there out there. So he's coming out, and I'd be really, really curious to see what comes, you know, down the pike in terms of how these all play out on the table, especially with his he's got a pretty interesting profile. He is 12 wounds, so you can pick him out, but I think it's going to all be about threat saturation. So, yeah, I can shoot him, or I can shoot one of the three Mauler Fiends that's bearing down on me, or a Heldrake.
To be fair, he can heal himself, so.
That's true. That's a good point. So all kinds of lots of layers, lots of things to decipher. There's a lot to digest with this particular book. So,
and we don't even know what else we might see.
That is true. And I have to say, I was a little sour grapes. This is my second favorite unit in Chaos Space Marines, or the Chosen. No new models yet. We'll see. Maybe they'll come out with them. Who knows? But someday, maybe. But I'm willing to wait a little bit longer. So it'll be pretty cool. So don't forget that we still got Hellbrutes out there, which never get used. And they've definitely seen some new life and all kinds of neat stuff out there. So very exciting. Also in the Vigilus book, in terms of Vigilus Ablaze, there's quite a bit of news in terms of the fluff or the narrative background, as you know, those people like to say. And we usually don't stray too much into the narrative side of things, but some interesting key points just to keep you abreast of things. First of all, to all my Drukhari brothers who are like, oh yeah, we're going to get all these stuff in the next Vigilus book. Yeah, you get nothing. You know why? Because the Thousand Sons figured out what Drukhari are afraid of, and they summoned it. And they brought out a completely white Keeper of Secrets. It's a named character, so it blends in with the snow at the polar caps, so they can't see this thing coming. So the Keeper of Secrets totally decimated all of the Drukhari that are on the surface of Vigilus. So knowing that we're getting a Slaanesh release sometime later this year, does that mean we're going to get that named character, or what's going on? Don't know yet, but that'd be pretty exciting. Second time now, first in the Imperial Knights Codex, now here, we're seeing a lot more of this new Keeper of Secrets. So,
yeah, I really think that we'll be seeing another campaign book before this year is out, and it will probably be very focused on Eldari, especially considering what we see, or at least what's leaked, takes place as far as the narrative goes, which we will not discuss so that people can read it.
So other nifty fun stuff in the fluff as expected. So who won, who lost? I don't want to quite give it away for you, but here's a long short. Khalgar made sure that the Chaos Space Marines had to run through every other Xenos that's on the planet before he had to fight them. So the orcs get into it, the Gene Stealer cult get into it, And he makes up with the Eldar to help him out in a secret covert mission to so he can distract Abaddon and let the Eldar do what they do best, and that's be sneaky. So I'll have to find out from there. One of the things that Rey and I are still debating at the beginning of the show, is Khalgar back? Is he going to be available, or was this his last stand on Vigilus and never to be seen on the battlefield again?
Who's to say?
Who's to say? So stay tuned. We'll find out more information as that comes out. We're going to take a quick break, go over your tournament coverage, and then after that, what's coming down the pike? There were plenty of hints, and of course, we've got the GW showcase at Adepticon mere 4 days away. We'll talk to you about that later in the show. First, this break.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
All right, welcome back after the break, going over your big GTs from the previous weekend. We start in Merriod, England at the LWG. So it's what that stands for. I have no idea. The Bad Moon GT Series Heat 1. So clearly a growing scene there where they have to have the breaking at the multiple heats. Your top eight looks something like this. You're actually got a tie for eighth place between Alan Perkins and Richard Sims. Alan brings Adeptus Custodes. And Richard Sims brings Inari. By the way, LWG, which I could not figure out, stands for the London Wargaming Guild, which is actually a very popular club. It's been there for quite some time. My apologies, gentlemen. I did not pick up on that earlier. Seventh place, Rickard Nielsen. Excuse me, get your name correctly. Rickard Nielsen with Cult Mechanicus. Sixth place with Tim Bridehead. We call him Tim. He's playing Tyranids. Tim with Tyranids. It's like a memory skill thing to remember people's names at a cocktail party. Anyway, fifth place, Alex Petford with Inari. Lots of Inari here. Fourth place, Polly Wallace with Drukhari. Sounds like a Chicago mobster. Hey, Polly. It's a nice army. Hate to see something happen to it. Third place, Lewis Fitzsimmons with Death Guard. Second place, Daniel Osudin with Adeptus Custodes. And your winner of the Bad Moon GT Series Heat 1 is none other than the person happiest for the new algorithm for ITC, Malik Amin Rubio with Imperial Knights. If you may remember that name, he was in 7th place, 6th place. Anyway, he was in the top 10 of the ITC going into LVO. He didn't make it to LVO, unlike some of the other players from England, and got trounced out of the top 10. With the new system, we'll see if that holds true. But there's a lot more points being awarded. For example, this event had about 35 players when he added, and he's still picking up 192 points towards the ITC, whereas last year he probably picked up like 115. Really interesting how this new algorithm's working. Oh, quick update. We forgot to talk about this in the news, right? If you want to know what the algorithm is, too bad. It is Beskob Sparrans guy says, hey, look, we've worked really hard on this. It is a unique trade secret and sort of a trademarking. It's not something you can really trademark or copyright. So basically the best way to keep it in-house and for a unique to wargaming experience is to not tell anyone what the formula is. And that's apparently very common.
Yeah, they one of them talked a bit about it in an article in Frontline Gaming today. And as much as they talk about it, they still manage to not tell you how it works, with the graph.
By the way, leave Reese alone. He saw it. He didn't memorize it. And so he doesn't know it either. So leave him alone. So anyway.
Message him all you want. He can't answer even if he wanted to.
Anyway, I think it's so far is very interesting seeing how this is the point system shaping up. So I'm okay with it. And quite frankly, how many times I had explained to players at our tournaments how the scoring formula worked, knowing how simple that formula was from the old algorithm, leave it as is. I think it's great. Anyway, our second tournament of the week comes to us, I believe, somewhere in Scandinavia. It's ArmaCon 2019.
Which, if memory serves, is in Rogaland. Excellent.
So your top eight looks something like this. In eighth place, Torsine Selvin with Alpha Legion. Seventh place, Thomas Orskog with Death Guard. Sixth place, Tor Eskeland from playing Drukhari. Fifth place, Kenneth Thorberson with Tau Empire. Fourth place, Kettle Linkness with Drukhari. Ooh, lots of Drukhari up there. Third place, Ingvar Bulli with Tau Empire. Second place, Adam Keith Somuso with Tau Empire again. And your winner of ArmaCon 2019 is... Dramatic pause for effect. Emil Espergen with Katagen Jungle Fighters. So congratulations to all our winners there. One more tournament. We talked about this at length last week. We could not stop laughing over the name and looking over the results. It looks like it was a pretty awesome event. That, of course, is called Tau Tipping. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. Especially somebody who's actually gone cow tipping, which was very dangerous, by the way. So, anyway, for those of you who don't know, cows are one of the many animals in the farm life that supposedly sleep standing up. So it's supposed to be great fun to push them over while they're sleeping. And it's quite dangerous. Don't do it. Anyway, so we head over to Aberdeen, Washington to get the results, and your top eight looks something like this. In eighth place was Jeremiah Bergdale with Harlequins. Seventh place, Jonathan Kohetsu. Jonathan, I hope I pronounced that right, with Space Wolves. Sixth place, Harrison Jewell with Death Watch. Fifth place, Scott Carnes with Katagen Jungle Fighters. Mason Moore with Orcs. Third place, Justin Witten with Orcs. Second place, Zachary Nelson with the Latok. And your winner, a familiar name from last year, none other than Colin Sherman, making the tops of the ranks this time with High Fleet Kraken. So very exciting to see Tyranids going undefeated in GT. So those are your big tournaments from last weekend. Right after the break, Ray and I will kind of go over our predictions of what we'll see for the next few months from GW in terms of new codices and new direction in terms of new books, and also some possible previews that we can see on Thursday. Stay tuned after the break. Sure. Welcome back after the break. We delve into our crystal ball and make various predictions of what we see from the future. So good news is, as of now, just about every index has been updated with the codex, the one exception being Inari. So once Inari gets their codex, you can pretty much throw away your indexes. There's no reason to continue with them. Of course, you want to take...
Except as of right now, they're still letting you use index.
Yeah, I was about to say, all the guys that are running a Autark with Banshee Masks or Orc War Boss on... a bike with a power claw, they're all like, no, keep the index. That's the only thing that's keeping you in business right now. So aside from an Inari codex, which could be very interesting, so Ray lent me a book about the Inari from the fan fiction. It was very interesting to hear how the Inari are sort of organized or basically almost like individual troops, very similar to how Chaos Space Marine, how the Renegades were organized. And so they kind of have a mission to mash, and they still don't trust each other. Like, the Dark Eldar don't really like the Harlequins, and the Harlequins really don't talk to anybody and give everybody the willies, and the craft world really don't really mesh too well with the Dark Eldar. But at the end of the day, they're like, okay, we got a common foe. Let's make this happen. So it could be kind of interesting to see more character groups, but one thing I was surprised I did not see in the book was unique Inari unit. So I don't know if that's something coming down the pike, but not something I would predict. But Ray, you had some really good thoughts about what's going to happen now that Vigilus Ablaze, it's on fire, but the pathway is still open between the two sides of the Imperium.
Yeah, so first off, spoilers. There's always those people who don't want to know. They want to read it. So, spoilers. Okay. So basically, they get the Eldar to help them fight Abaddon and the forces of the Black Legion. That pretty much makes a perfect segue to go into another campaign book 3 to 6 months down the line that focuses on the Eldari, and maybe the might see certain forces of the Chaos Space Marines going to fight them. I mean, to be sure, the Thousand Sons, or at the very least, Ahriman's Warband, is still trying to get into the Black Library. And we also haven't seen much about what's going on with the Necrons right now, also a major enemy of the Eldar. Right there, you've got the perfect makings for another campaign. You've got some Xenos, you've got some Chaos. You might even see a small group of Imperium in the form of, I don't know, Dark Angels or Blood Angels, kind of depending on where in the galaxy they decide to set it. I mean, anybody who doesn't remember would know that Dante and the Blood Angels have basically been given control of policing the, they call it, dark half of the galaxy that's on the other side of the rift. So if something happens on that side and they decide to include some Imperium faction, it would make perfect sense for them to take part. Would we see a, you know, Primaris Dante? Maybe. But it would definitely be a good chance for them to kind of bring the Blood Angels to the fore. With what happens to Kalgar, he basically gets retired from combat for a while after Abaddon destroys his primary heart and just about destroys his secondary heart. We could be seeing a kind of a pullback from utilizing the Ultramarines so heavily. And we could be seeing, you know, one of the others come to the forefront. Blood Angels make a lot of sense just because they're on the dark side, but Dark Angels could make sense because the Lion is basically set to be resurrected, or at least brought out of stasis. He's been that way since the Wrath of Magnus. So we could be seeing Blood Angel stuff or a big move for the Dark Angels. Kind of depend. I think that really depends on where they would decide to set it, the next campaign.
There's something I can't put my finger on it, but it seemed like there was a lot of hints laid down earlier in the year that something big is going to happen to the Blood Angels. You know, this whole idea that they're in for a big change. Whether, you know, do the new Primaris Marines suffer from the Red Thirst and a couple of the other changes? And like I said, Dante literally, hey, you got control the other half of the universe, knock yourself out. So there's a lot of room for that. There's still all the untold, you know, with the Dark Angels from their codex release. You know, Luther has escaped the Rock. Lionel Johnson is fully regenerated. He's just kind of hanging around in a saltwater bath there. So is he coming back as the next Primarch figure? What's going on? Because right now, you know, when it comes to Primarch size figures, you know, counting Abaddon, you know, Imperium's out number 3-1 right now.
I do think it's important to note that there's no guarantee that even if they do Eldari, it will be all of the factions. You have 3, technically 4 Eldari factions. I think it would only be smart for them to find some way to utilize that to really push the Unari. And maybe at the same time push new, you know, updated models, updated sculpts, but there's no guarantee that they won't. I could see them maybe giving some new models for, you know, Craftworld and Drukhari, but we may not necessarily see something like that for the Harlequins because they're still fairly new. Although we could see, you know, maybe a bit of a blending where you start seeing some, like maybe a Wraith Lord or something like that, be part of the Eldari in some form or fashion.
No, I definitely could see that. I definitely could see, you know, are they going to do some sort of blending of the Aspect Warriors? Are they going to come out with a new Aspect Warrior? I don't think so, but I could definitely see like a, you know, mix and match of certain Eldari. what's the word I'm looking for? Basically kind of variations. Also, like I said, we never would have guessed that Chaos Renegade chapters would have gotten this much love. Got to remember, in each of those books, there's two or three craft worlds, two or three covens and cults and cabals, and then in mask forms that are mentioned in their codices but don't have rules. So those could get fleshed out to bring into, you know, additional variation. So that could be really interesting to see.
I think it's I'm hoping that if this is something that they're doing, that they will announce it at Adepticon. I know for a fact that we're going to see at least a little bit of stuff for both AOS and 40K, along with whatever they might want to say for their more specialist games like Shadespire, Adeptus Titanicus, any of those things. I'm sure we're going to probably see an announcement for an AOS faction. What we see for 40K kind of might depend on how heavy they're going to be going into AOS and over the next, you know, quarter or so. But I think we can definitely expect to see something big for 40K following up, however long they're going to be doing the Chaos Space Marines, which could be two weeks.
Definitely, if they're going to do a crossover, I mean, Slaanesh Demons would be a good way to do it. And, because both can benefit in 40K as well as Age of Sigmar. It's a really easy release. They've definitely already seen some hints of some new models. You know, add a couple more here and there, and you're good to go. So I could definitely see that happening. And interesting that you say a new faction. I'm a little surprised by Age of Sigmar in that the last two releases were kind of just a redo of old models. And I know fans of the game are like, well, they were much needed, but it seemed like the original method was, we're going to come out with all new models and a whole new thinking. You know, if we went from the steampunk dwarves riding dirigibles to, yeah, we took the old Beastmen models and repackaged them. I was like, what? What happened here?
Well, you got to realize a lot of their very new things, a lot of their stuff that came out in the later part of 8th edition, they're finding ways to recycle. That's why you've got like a faction like you do for Daughters of Cain, where about half the line came out of the Dark Elf line. They added some new stuff to it, but they're still recycling stuff. We're going to see stuff like that where they're going to use some new stuff, but they're going to use new stuff. At the end of the day, AOS is a new game that they started with using old models. Now they're kind of recycling the old stuff that they can still use while bringing in new things. The big thing is we saw in AOS, you saw the move to a 2.0. And the rules are very much the same, but they've updated it enough where they've felt that in some cases they're better off redoing some of the codec or battle tomes instead of moving to new factions just to help keep things clean. The Blades of Khorne came out, but when it came out, it was very underappreciated. It was, you know, it kind of went off the I believe it was originally called the Bloodbound. And to an extent, it got ignored for when the Blades of Khorne came out. At the time, it was very much in the tournament scene, it very heavily was contested at first with the Disciples of Tzeentch in control. And then we saw the Daughters of Cain take control of the competitive scene along with some other stuff. But they've kind of cleaned it up. Especially considering that in a game that's it's even more magically inclined than 40K is, they wanted to be sure to address what Khorne and the Khorne forces are doing in regard to a lot of this stuff, because they've moved both settings into a much more narrative centric game, so we see things following a story. That's why we're seeing updates happen in 40K. We're seeing updates to CSM happen at the same time we're seeing a new campaign book. We're not just seeing a new campaign book and, oh, by the way, I know that none of these models have to do with the campaign, but here's some new models for 40K. No, we're seeing, hey, the Black Legion is playing a heavy, and other Space Marine warbands are playing a heavy part in this campaign. Here's models for them that you can use that are updated. The narrative of what's going on in the setting is having a big impact on what's going on. And we see that in AOS and 40K now. So you can really begin to judge what's going to come out, or what you can expect to come out, by what's going on in their in the story.
So as you mentioned, Adepticon coming up this week, one of the biggest tournaments just flat out in the world. The team tournament alone is one of the key draws. But as we talked about, Games Workshop having a little seminar this Thursday. But they also announced that after Adepticon, they'll be releasing the big FAQ with the spring edition. So, Ray, any predictions for what we could see in the new big FAQ?
Well, let me begin by saying that since they decided that they want to be able to add what they see in Adepticon to it, that we will likely see the big FAQ come out sometime between April 23rd and the 30th, or basically the last week. Why? Because they're going to be using about 2 weeks at least just to make sure that they understand what they saw before they can even start implementing the changes that they want to implement. That being said, I haven't really seen a lot of big changes to what people are playing, at least not in the form of something that I can see them wanting to change as far as rules go.
So we'll start with the popular sentiments. I mean, there's a lot of people out there like, you know, will the Castellan finally get a points increase to make it justified? Then they start pointing the finger at whatever else is overpowered at the moment, and for a points increase and certain things being underpowered. So last week we talked to Archon Skari. Hey, these choices seem to be auto take. And I like his approach in saying that he would rather see improvements to the weaker factions than to make the tougher factions get reduced in points or something like that, or reduced in not in points, but in effectiveness. So I'd be curious to see how all that plays out, but I definitely would expect to see the the Castellan Knight definitely seeing some points increase. Definitely could see some more tweaks to how command points are shared among detachments. I think there's still a couple areas that could do some improvement and tightening of the rules. Not sure which direction they go in. I've heard several ideas. I think orc players, their poor Stompa, good grief, woefully overcosted. So be nice to see that adjusted there as well. And I don't know. There's a few other small parts here and there, like a point here, a point there, could make a world of a difference. But when the chapter approved came up, there was definitely a couple armies that they kind of missed the cutoff in terms of what they were going to get for points adjustments and changes, and just didn't see it happen. So it's curious to see what happens with there. But I think probably the biggest thing is I think there was some clarifications on some key rules and a lot of that surrounding on how command points are used.
Yeah. Have we seen them adjust points in
Yes, we have, but for the most part, I guess remember the big FAQ is where they came out with some of the command point adjustments in certain stratagems. We've seen them also, though the rule of three came from the big FAQ, those sort of things. All the changes to, remember, the Alpha Legion and Stygies 8, their infiltration rules, they were changed in the FAQ. So there's a definite lots of room. Dark Reapers got points increases in the very first FAQ. So there's definitely room for lots of change going on in the meta, and I'd be curious to see how that all kind of pans out. And just because there's still a couple, still some lingering effects. One reason we noticed during our tournament wrapped up, we didn't go over a lot of the lists simply because not much has changed. It's the same 6-7 lists that are winning, you know, for each event. And you look at some of the top lists, that's the same list of that same faction from 2 weeks ago, that one event 2 weeks ago. So it's a little stagnant at the moment. So a couple boosting here and there or making some other units more attractive. Also have a feeling because of LVO needing 4 weeks prior notice to turning in your list, there's a lot of list mashing going on right now. And I think Adepticon will be very exciting to watch because there's a lot of folks that are thinking new army, new year, new season, but also things like everyone and their brother was all big about Adeptus Mechanicus with all the points drops to all the Cataphron Breachers and the all the other the tracked guys that all they saw major point decreases. No one really jumped on it. So is now the time they've had a chance to collect, build, and paint. Same thing with Gene Stealer Cult. The Codex came out too soon. We'll be seeing now guys have had 4-6 weeks of practice time with Gene Stealer Cult and see what they can do with them, especially with this new blip deployment. All kinds of neat things coming down, and there's a lot of changes that happened between December 1st and now, and they really didn't get used. So it's almost like 3 months of maturation in list building, all going to be on display this week at Adepticon. So it could be very exciting.
And I mean, to be fair, I mean, I don't think I've heard of anybody using the same list that they did decently at LVO with now. It seems like people are having to change lists to continue to stay competitive.
The meta's changing, and you would have to. I mean, I learned that the hard way, but I knew the meta was changing. And I think, okay, let's eliminate some variables and I'll run my same LVO list and see what areas it struggles in so I know what changes to make. But I did not expect to do that poorly. I mean, this is a list that merely 6-8 weeks ago, it was a 4-2, 3-3 list. It did pretty well. And some players, I think, could have pushed it to 5-1. And I got trounced 2 weekends ago. So did another game with Don later in the week and got, blown off the table. I'm like, wow, I was not competitive at all. So some changes are coming.
I still think you need to go back to Chaos. Give Drukhari a break. Go back to your Alpha Legion.
Go back to my Alpha.
And if any listeners agree with me, they should say something on the Facebook page because I need some people to back me up on this. I think Eric will do better playing Alpha Legion again.
Yeah, it's been hard to, with all the new stuff coming out, as I was telling you before the show, big fan of all the demon engines. It's always been my favorite. It's, large, I forgot which codex or which edition it was, where basically you could take obliterators as troops. And I was like, oh, that'd be awesome. And spamming.
That sounds like 3.5.
Yeah, something like that. So it would just been awesome, ton of obliterators, tons of Mauler Fiends, the Lord Discordant riding into battle, flanked by, all these monstrous beasts and a couple of Helldrakes, bring them back. I think it'd be really cool. It'd be a lot of fun to do that. And I have some older Dark Mechanicus Forge World models that I could throw in there as Warp Smiths as needed. It would be kind of cool. Yeah, I still have my Alpha Legion, my old 5th edition list, and I still have my Fallen, which probably could use a new paint job, but it'd be a lot of fun to bring those back out. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to leave Kimora just yet. So, but it's been with all the new stuff coming out, I'm kind of going, this stuff looks pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. Yep. Especially now that the changes I want to make to Drukhari, I'm like, yep. And I go, yeah, I'm not buying those models. They're web store only, fine cast. And I'm going like,
yeah. Eric, the Drukhari have almost completely gone web store only. There are maybe 3 things that aren't at this point.
Yeah. And it's the same because there's some models that I think will work really well with my list. And I know there's some easy conversions out there, And but it's just like, I just know it's going to happen. I'm going to make these conversions, and then 6 months from now, GW is going to be like, look, new Drukhari models. I'm going to be like, you jerks. So I don't know.
Give me the wallet, no one gets hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, back away slowly. So no. So we don't know yet. I'll use some proxies first to try out the list and let you know how it works out, and then move forward from there. And chances are the list will do quite well, because I know a couple of people who have been using it, and I thought I had some cool new, you know, innovative idea, and sure enough, it's already showing up on the Drukhari competitive Facebook page. I'm like, ah, damn it. So another time, another place. Well, I'll come up with something. But that's it. So we'll, as news breaks from Adepticon, Ray and I will be covering it. Look for it on our Facebook page, which can be found throughout Facebook as a Sterminatus podcast. We're going to take a quick break, go over your events for next week, as well as the current ITC Top 10. Be back in a minute. Welcome back to the show. Let's go over your ITC Top 10 on the eve before Adepticon. In 10th place, we have Michael Ralston at 527 points. Mere 6/10 of a point ahead of Michael is Johan Nicolaysen in 9th place. Colin Sherman, after his big win over the weekend, moves into 8th place. Michael Serapata drops down to 7th place. Colin Coons occupies the 6th spot. Jim Vessel, Canada's news pride, it hangs in 5th place with a 22-point lead over Colin. Andrew Ford holding out at 592 points, also 22 points ahead of Jim Vessel for 4th place. Richard Ziegler hangs in at 664 points for 3rd place. The pride of Florida, John Lennon, drops down to 2nd place at 701 points. That means your new leader for the ITC this week is none other than... Daniel Hesters with 714 points. Ray, what events do we have coming up next weekend?
Well, our big event is Adepticon in Schaumburg, Illinois. That, of course, is starting on the 28th of March. We've also got the Gibraltar 40K GT in Gibraltar. We've got the Blood God Gaming Classic 2 in Lutherville, Timonium, Maryland at Titan Games and Hobbies. The last one looks to be Tempest at Olson Working Men's Club in Christchurch, very Canterbury. Cool.
I believe that event in Gibraltar, if I'm thinking of the right event, is like an invite-only event. Like, you have to submit pictures of your army ahead of time, and if you're deemed worthy, you can attend this event. And it's, you know, Rock of Gibraltar is not exactly the easiest place to get to, so it's a very inclusive, but almost like a resort. Not resorts, not the right away, but kind of a destination tournament. It's supposed to be very prestigious, so that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, to be fair, according to their page, it's already sold out.
Hey, hats off to them. That's really cool. So we'll have all the updates on that tournament, Adepticon, and every other tournament from this past weekend. In the meantime, look for further updates on our Facebook page. Like what you heard here tonight, hit us up on Facebook, on iTunes. Leave a comment there. Let us know how you feel. In the interim, my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.